Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And welcome to our show. Tonight our topic is Operating in Love Through Compassion, Part 2. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen.
Amen.
Most heavenly and gracious Father, we are so honored and grateful right now, Father God, to be using this service, Father God. We ask now, Father God, that you have your way to help me, Father. As the Spirit of Truth moves, Father God, in this place, Father God, we ask the Heavenly Father that you will speak to our hearts now, to help me, Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name, for faith and praise.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And again, our topic is Operating in Love Through Compassion, Part 2. We will be discussing the importance of understanding how compassion plays an important part in our relations with each other. Many of us want compassion, but have difficulty being able to exhibit it to others when necessary. Instead, cause ourselves to have grief in situations that could have easily been avoided if only we could allow ourselves to feel compassion instead of resentment and anger. Compassion is exhibited with grace and mercy, and when we think of the grace and mercy that God has so easily given in His love, it will help us to be able to establish that same care, empathy, and genuine regard to others. In order to operate in love on a consistent basis, we must learn to have compassion for each other. We must start to look at others' processes with understanding, learning how to trust and believe that we can help, that we can relate, and that we are not dealing with the issues of others just because they are in our lives. We must learn that we are dealing with the issues of others because God has established a plan that we love one another as He loved us. We are in each other's lives to help each other heal and become delivered from the very issues that have become apparent. God has established in us a love that can cover a multitude of sins and has given each of us the measure of faith to deal with any issue that arises, whether it is our own or someone else's. We must still operate in love. Amen. Okay. And tonight we're coming out of 1 Kings 12. Verse 7, and I'm going to give you the King James Version and the Message Version. The scripture reads, "And they spake upon him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." And that's the King James Version, the Message Version of 1 Kings 12:7 is, they said, if you will be a servant to this people, be considerate of their needs and respond with compassion, work things out with them, they'll end up doing anything for you. And that's the word of God.
For the people of God, praise God.
Amen, amen. And again, I'd like to thank you for joining us. Our last segment, Operating in Love Through Compassion, aired, I think it's been a couple of weeks now, has it been? About a week. Okay, it was last week. And we're doing this segment. Let me give you a definition of compassion, too. Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Mm-hmm. And passion lies at the root of the word and then proceeds to challenge assumptions about what compassion really is. The path to authentic compassion arises from within, beginning with a deep acceptance and love of oneself. Only then does compassion flower into a healing force rooted in the unconditional acceptance of the other person as he or she is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I was thinking about how, in order for us to be able to have effective healthy, long-lasting relationships, we need to have compassion for one another. We need to be able to look at one another, especially when it comes to issues, as a person that can be a help. You know, one of my things is that I understand more today that we're in each other's lives to help each other. And I believe that God puts people in each other's lives so that they can help the other person to identify some of those issues and get past them. But if we don't show compassion for each other, we miss the mark. You know, we end up leaving people or getting angry with people, having resentments, you know, isolating ourselves instead of accepting that help. Because even when somebody is being compassionate, I think that, you know, you can run a person away, you know, when they're trying to help by not receiving that help. So we got to also be able to understand when a person is being compassionate too, when somebody just really wants to help us. And I understand today that, like they was talking about, you know, compassion, you have to have a passion in your heart, you know, to help. You got to be willing.
And have that desire
to be of help. Because too many times in relationship, we look at the other person like they got all this stuff wrong with them and everything going on with them, and, you know, we just don't want to deal with it, not realizing that they're on the other side looking at us like you got all this stuff to deal with too, you know.
Right.
And if you got somebody that's willing to try, mm-hmm. try with them.
But then a lot of times too, you know, people have a problem receiving that too, you
mm-hmm.
know, because of arrogance and ego, you know, thinking they right,
yeah.
you know, a lot of self-centered issues, you know. Sometimes you have to try to penetrate through that in order to reach that person, to reason with them, you know, and say, hey, I'm just trying to help. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, manipulate you or anything. You know, I have a strong love in my heart for you, and I want to see things better in your life, you know, better for you, better with you, you know. And until that person can receive that, you know, they'll never open up themselves to receive that compassion.
And that's a good point, because I was thinking today when I was meditating on this word about how it does make a difference in your approach. You know, if you're still going to somebody saying you never do this or you always do that, being able to let them know, just like you were just saying, how you feel and how you got to that conclusion. You know, I was listening to a sermon earlier, and the guy was talking about how instead of a person going to a person saying, you know, you don't pray enough, there's a way to make that approach, you know, like saying, baby, you want to pray together, you know, because maybe what you don't see is a person praying, you know, when you don't see them, or you don't see a person reading their Bible, you know. That doesn't mean that they're not doing that, and people get easily offended when they're charged with something that they're not, that they don't feel like they should be charged with.
Yeah.
So
a lot
you
of
know.
People make those kind of indictments, mm-hmm. you know, not really maybe paying attention, or, you know, just not knowing, you know, where a person, because a lot of times we do those type things in our quiet time,
mm-hmm.
when we're alone or by ourselves. You know, so prejudging too,
mm-hmm.
you know, so until you can get to a place where you can kind of see it. And a lot of times you can tell if a person's been reading the Bible or having a prayer time, because it shows,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you put inside of you has a tendency mm-hmm. to come out, you know. So maybe just to be a little bit more observant, and like you say, notice those subtle changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that, you know, you can discern that, you know, question, you know, just by being observant, you know, as to how those little soul changes are taken with the energy, you know, as far as their prayer time. And most time when people read the Bible, when opportunity comes for that discussion, it'll come out,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're eager to share what they've learned, you know, and that's a great indicator of, you know, people that, that do spend time in the Word, and same thing with their prayer life. Their prayer life is definitely going to make some changes in their attitude, in their character, in their mindset, how they think about things. So that's a part of that renewal process.
And I think that's very important. If you're going to try to exhibit any kind of compassion in your life, you need a prayer life. You need to be able to ask God to help you. Because if you have a selfish nature, like I did, I had a selfish nature, and I had to pray for God to help me to be able to share more of everything with another person. And especially if you've been living alone for a while, it's really hard to come into a relationship, especially moving in together, you know, and not getting territorial with your stuff, you know, or feeling your privacy is being invaded, or you know, learning how to live with somebody else on their terms sometimes, you know, instead of having everything set your way.
Or some acceptance,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the difference
right.
between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might like things some way, or a person might not even care about that particular thing that you have been accustomed to doing because that's the way you had it when you were by yourself.
Right.
You know. And sometimes, even with me, you know, I had to struggle for a long time within myself and to a flaw almost, you know. But I had to get some acceptance with them.
How did you do that?
Well, some of it was little... offended. So it was, I give up. Some of it was okay. Some things, you know, that's the way it is, you know what I'm saying? So it took some swallowing some pride and you know, come to understand, you know, that I could still do what it was that I, you know, they weigh things that I like, you know, still be able to coexist with, you know, everything not falling in place the way that I felt it should,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you still got to live and let live, even in a family environment to a certain degree, you know, because we all still free agents, but we have taken some vows and stuff that we should consider along the way, but
mm-hmm.
at the same time, you know, every individual has to be themselves.
And I can relate because, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about I had to do the same thing because my, I want to say, I guess for lack of a better word right now, I say my impression of what I thought a husband should be and a husband should do didn't come with you. You know, in the beginning, you know, you do a lot, things a lot different now, you know, in some aspects. But, you know, I always thought, I never had to pull maintenance on my own car, you know, and just some little things like that for an example, you know, I would see about that instead of just going ahead on and do it myself. When we don't express how we feel about things to a person, we can't show compassion because we're not helping them.
Right.
Because if I tolerate it and accept it, then that makes you believe that it's all right, that it's not a problem.
And when there's nothing said, frustration begins to build up
mm-hmm.
because this is something that, you know, you feel that, okay, as a husband, I should be able to, you know, and I'm not a mistake. You know,
that was the surrender I had to come to.
I dabbled a little bit with cars, and I found out that it wasn't my forte.
Right.
I tried to I try to rebuild my Toyota that I had. Not rebuild it, but I try to set the points. I mean, not the points, but the...
anyway, you try to fix
ride,
it.
Yeah, my ride.
You know, I don't know.
Messed up. But anyway, I tried to do it myself.
Okay.
And when I went to start the car up, oh, it was like, wow.
It worked.
No.
Oh.
It made the most horrendous sound I ever heard in my life. You know, but I gave it a try.
Right.
You know, I gave it a try. And maybe if I had stayed with it, you know, I probably would have got bad at it. But this was one of them things I really wasn't interested in doing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather take the money and let the person that know how to do it because I didn't want to get out on the highway or on the road and stuff that happened, you know, and cause an accident or whatever. So I pretty much just stick to the small stuff, you know, changing the oil and tires.
And I think that's what I like about that. That is the change for me with you is that now you don't mind putting forth the money because before you wouldn't even do that. You know, you wouldn't even participate in no kind of way or show no kind of concern or compassion. You know, it was like you wasn't going to help. And I think that me being able to talk to you about some of my ideas, and you talk to me about some of your ideas, because we got to look at coming into a relationship, you really don't know the person as well as you should know the person until we get comfortable enough to trust each other enough with our heartfelt, you know. And a lot of times because we go into relationships just playing house, you know, starting something up that we don't have a clue what we're doing, and everybody's imagining that everybody else should know their part.
And there's a lot of unseen things involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of areas that we really haven't dealt with or
even addressed.
Or addressed, you
mm-hmm.
know, that come in being in, you know, close quarters, close proximity with one another and trying to interact as a family unit, you know. That because you had a different personality, you know,
you got different people,
and that by itself is a challenge,
mm-hmm.
you know, being able to come on one accord or be able to come to an understanding or be able to disagree without being, you know, angry and upset,
mm-hmm.
you know,
easily
offended. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And early in our marriage, those were some issues that we frequently had, you know. But by showing compassion and having a passionate heart to want to try to change and want to try to look at these areas differently, approaching differently, we have managed to stay together.
And it's like that reading was saying, you know, it was talking about unconditional.
Right.
You know, being able to take some of those conditions away
and
because
that
we have some conditions
mm-hmm.
that, you know, some of them are unrealistic, really, because sometimes you want a person to do some things that you can't even do,
right.
you know, on a
or
consistent
day
or won't do. You know, when we look at other people and our expectations are so high of them, you know, that we let ourselves down. Because it's imaginary, you know, it's not real. And we have to go ahead
some
on
of
and
this stuff that we want.
Anyway,
yeah.
Go along with those control issues.
Right.
But in operating in love with compassion, I think that the best thing that you can have with that is still going to go back to effective communication. Because you have to be able to go ahead and address those things, not being controlling, manipulative, angry, or vindictive, you know, but actually going to, you know, like I like to say, going to the round table, sit down, and let's talk about let's talk about this, you know, set up some ground rules, you know, we're not going to cuss each other out, we're going to agree to disagree, if things get too heated, we're going to get up and take a 5-minute break, or whatever it is that we need to do, so that we can come to a solution.
And some common ground. So that's important, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, a lot of times we have a tendency to, you know, want the things that we want met, but we're not willing to have some compromise. You know, and a little compromise, you know, in certain areas is good. You know, because that means that you're open-minded and you're flexible and you're not stubborn and arrogant and you know.
And you show the other person that you care.
That you care, mm-hmm. Right? So that's very important, too.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some things that I've come to learn, you know, along the way in our marriage. And not thinking that everything that I say, you know, is law, you know, or just because things are not going the way that I feel they should go, you know, if it ain't my way, then it ain't happening.
Right, you stop participating, period.
Oh, shit down.
Yeah. And I found out, too, that that's abuse. You know, when a person shuts down in a house with you, that's mm-hmm. abuse. When we're not talking, you know, if you decide that you're not going to have any communication in a house with a person that's right there in the house with you, that's abuse.
That's abuse.
It's abuse. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, abuse and neglect go together. They go hand in hand because if I neglect you, don't you feel abused? Really?
No.
Okay, you know what neglect is?
Yeah. It's not tending to those things that are important, that are vital, you know, to one's being, so to speak.
And what's the abuse?
It's necessity.
Okay,
abuse is just...
Let's look at neglect.
Okay.
Neglect is fail to care for properly.
Okay.
The state or fact of being uncared for. Like abandonment, misuse. Okay. Okay, and then we're going to look for abuse.
Abuse.
To use something to bad effect. Or for a bad purpose, misuse. Treat a person or an animal with cruelty or violence, especially regularly or repeatedly. Mistreat, maltreat, ill-treat. The improper use of something.
So there's a difference.
Okay.
But they're still synonymous. I didn't hit it on the head, but I think I was in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I guess I look at neglect. Cause maybe it's a female thing. I think I would look at neglect abuse.
Okay. Understandably so.
Because you know, I don't think as a woman I can stand to be neglected. I think that's quite abusive, really. Because it's neglect is big. It's real big. It's too big. It's too big for a person to do to another person, I believe. And I think that neglect is something that you would do to a person. As too quiet.
I'm processing it. But I do understand.
Okay. Two different things. It is two different things, like you say, but that's the way I feel about it. For instance, if I'm a talkative person, and I like to communicate, and I'm touchy-feely, and I like to be around people, and if I was in the home with you, in which I've been in the home with you like that, and it felt quite abusive when I'm walking around needing somebody to talk to, somebody's right here, but I don't have anybody to talk to, you know.
Or wanting some adult conversation.
Adult conversation, adult attention, some love, some tender care, some affection, some acknowledgement, you know, all of that. To me, it's
yeah,
without that. That's
what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I concur with that. It is. Mental.
Right. And emotion.
And emotion.
Mm-hmm.
but we track.
Okay.
Amen. So that's where the compassion comes in, to be able to, you know, understand that, you know, knowing that you feel that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every effort is made to address these issues and solve them. I'll be more tentative by, you know, having a conversation, not ignoring, you know,
my need.
Your need in your presence.
Amen. Because it's like that, what that definition was talking about, that's the passion in a relationship. You know, relationships that we have to have some kind of interaction that fills those needs, you know, because everything is not sexually based, you know, because I don't care if a person go into a relationship and they have sex all day and all night. When they get up, they probably still don't like each other, you know, because there's nothing there. What can you do now? Exactly. What do you do now?
What are some things that, you know, we can do that will nurture this relationship and help it grow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Keep us bonded to each other.
Keep it fulfilled, you know,
mm-hmm.
wanting to be in, you know?
Right.
I think that's something that affects a lot of relationships.
Not having that intimacy.
Shallow and routine and boring and so on. I would say,
you know, so that's something
that, you know, keep it stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need that stimuli.
Yeah, you gotta have some stimuli, you know, intelligent conversation or something, you know, some commonality, something that's gonna continue to help us grow. Because that's part of, because the help and compassion is that, you know, when you helping somebody, you're helping them to grow.
But I've noticed, you know, even with us, that since we become more attentive to each other spiritually, it has been more, there is an intimacy that's beyond physical. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's because it touches who we really are, because we are a spirit being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, in relationship, that particular part of our lives are not really nurtured and really, you know what I'm saying, focused on, you know. And I think through that, I feel that it's really drawn us a lot closer together. So I thank God for that.
I do too. I thank Him for His love, His grace, His mercy, and His compassion for us. I thank Him so much for that. Because we have changed. We have definitely changed. He has changed us and given us a love that, you know, that's growing and being nurtured. And, you know, we do have empathy and compassion for each other. And I'm grateful
Amen.
For that, too.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God be the glory.
God be the glory. Well, sir, I want to thank you again for ministry tonight.
Amen.
I enjoyed
Amen.
It.
Amen.
I got a lot out of it. You pray outside. I appreciate it.
Father God, it's always an honor and a privilege, Father God, to be using this service. And we just ask the Heavenly Father that what has been said tonight, the Heavenly Father, will manifest itself in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits, Father God, so that we can become more compassionate toward each other, the Heavenly Father, more loving, more caring, more kind. And just help us, the Heavenly Father, to know your love. It's unconditional, Father God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Thank you. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. And just remember that no matter what the problem, the situation, or the circumstances is,
the lesson is always love.
Amen.